Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Thanks for joining us on Family of Faith. This is a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and we're excited that you're with us this week. Today, as a guest, we have Seth Weber.
Hello.
Seth, thanks for joining us today. This is our first podcast, and so we're really, really excited about that. We've been looking forward to this for a little while now, and Seth is our very first guest. So, Seth, thanks for joining us today.
Well, you know, I was just going to set up the mics for whoever was talking, and then you said I'm talking, so
yep,
I'm along for the ride.
I'm actually glad you're here today, Seth, because our topic is something that you need to think about because you're a dad and a husband.
It is indeed.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about family worship today. Really important topic. And when I say family worship, I feel, I don't know if you could do this later, Seth, but I feel like we should put some music in there, like, you know, like, I don't know, Jaws music or something. Not quite like that.
But oh, I'll put something in there.
Like, dun, dun, dun. Because when I say family worship, it's not one of those things that resonates with a lot of people. When I say family worship, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what it is and what it should look like. We have bad memories, maybe even of a forced family worship time. You know, there's wood paneling on the wall and there's avocado green carpet and, you know, there's flannel graph involved, perhaps. Somebody's dressed up as a Bible character, you know, the prophet Elijah. Dad's the prophet Elijah and he's slaying the prophets of Baal. I don't know.
You can do that if you want. If you're really good at dressing up and being characters in the Bible, you go right ahead and do that.
But that's a lot of times what people think when they think family worship. They think it's almost a miniature Sunday school class or a miniature church service. And it's unfortunate because that is not really what we mean by family worship. And today we want to just talk about what it is. We also want to talk about why it's important that we do this and then give you some practical help in how to actually walk forward and do this in your home.
So what is family worship?
Family worship is a purposeful time for family to gather around the scriptures, to pray together, and to sing together the praises of God. So it's a time that you set aside, a purposeful time, an intentional time for the family to get together around the scriptures, pray, and sing. Now, what I don't mean by that is that you have to have a lesson or spend a lot of time in prep. This is not a preaching time or even a teaching time, a formal teaching time. It's just getting around the scriptures. It's just gathering around these all important aspects of worship, the reading the scriptures, prayer, and singing.
So why is this an important thing for us to actually have on our schedule rather than just sort of letting it happen whenever it happens?
I do think it's important that you have some intentional, purposeful time set aside for this. Here's why. Because I believe the Bible teaches that parents are the primary disciplers of their children. Parents are the ones responsible to teach their children and to point their children to Christ. And dads specifically, I think dads or men are the primary disciplers. The Bible teaches us that men are the primary disciplers of their family. And many times when we talk about being a man, when we talk about being a leader, when we talk about being manly, there's a lot of pictures that come into play there. There's a lot of thoughts in our mind about what it really means to be a man. You know, you're going to be rough and you're going to be tough. You're going to almost like
John Wayne,
almost like John Wayne or some hero that we see portrayed in movies or in literature. We have this idea of what it means to be a man. I think that there's nothing more manly than a man taking up his responsibility to lead his children spiritually, to lead his wife spiritually. And this is part of that, to sit down with them, to open up the scriptures, to pray with them and lead them in prayer and to sing together, to be a man that leads your family in that way. When I look out on a congregation, when I see a man singing the praises of God, unrestricted, just singing with all of his heart, that is a beautiful thing to watch because he's leading his family in that. He's showing his family what it looks like to worship, to lead his family in song. So I think that there's that this is part of what it means for a man to lead his family. And this ought to be a natural thing. Or I should say, this ought to be the supernatural outworking of your heart of worship. If this is truly, if your heart is worshiping, you could say if your heart is loving God, this should be the outflow of that, right? It should not be an awkward thing to sit down and read the scriptures with your family or to pray together or to lead them even in singing.
Yeah. So if it's the natural outflow of our heart, that makes sense for, you know, like parents if they're saved. How does that work with your kids if, you know, depending on where they're at with the Lord, they may not, you know, have that relationship with him yet?
Yeah, that would be the assumed. I mean, you're talking, I have seven kids, Seth. I've got seven children. I'm not assuming that they're worshipers. We're not sitting down as a family worshiping because my family, because they're all worshipers. But why it's important is because I want to show them and I want to demonstrate to them, I want to live out before them what it looks like to be a worshiper of Yahweh, to be a worshiper of Christ. I want them to see that. And how better to do that than to sit down and go through the scriptures? I mean, the scriptures are God's revelation to us. God has actually spoken to us. And if he's the one I worship, I should want to do nothing else but to sit and read and hear what God has said. That should be a natural product of my heart of worship. And I want my kids to see that. I want my kids to see that I love his word. And I want my kids to see what it looks like to pray and what it looks like to talk to my Father. I want my kids to see that. I'm not assuming or expecting that they're going to participate in that the same way that I participate. They're really observers. Mm-hmm. They're really watchers. And by doing that, I'm teaching them. I'm teaching them without that structured lesson. Okay, I'm not talking about a structured lesson where I have 3 points or I want to get somewhere with it. I'm just teaching them what it looks like to worship and demonstrating
like
that for
teaching
them.
By example.
Yeah, exactly. I'm teaching by example. I'm teaching by modeling. And I want to make it attractive. I want them to see the attractiveness of a life of worship. Mm-hmm. I want them to see that this is what mom and dad really care about. Yeah. And then my corporate worship, and this is part of it too, Seth. This is why I take my children to church. And by church, I mean the corporate gathering. I mean the assembly, the preaching time, and the corporate worship. I take my children to that, not because I'm trying to make them good little, you know, good little girls and a good little boy. I'm not trying to make my kids good kids. I'm taking them to that because I want them to see mom and dad worship. And I want them to see that we're not the only ones that worship Jesus. There's a whole bunch of us that worship Christ and that this is the outflow of our heart of worship. And that really is what our assembly time is. Now we know it's true. We know it's true that we could come to worship or come to sing and our hearts not be right. Our hearts not actually be worshiping. And I think that's a really important part of this. There's going to be times in your family that your heart really isn't worshiping God, that you're not really giving worship that's due him. And so I think it forces you, when this becomes a planned, purposeful thing in your family, it forces you to have to deal with the junk that comes up in your life. When you have these frequent or consistent times of reading scriptures, prayer, and singing, it forces you to have to deal with the stuff that's obvious in your life that's not congruent with a heart of worship, right? Does that make sense? So it forces me to have to repent in front of my children. It forces me to have to get stuff reconciled, to have to get stuff taken care of with my wife. I don't want to sit down and lead my family in family worship when I'm not really there.
Right.
Right. Now that's not an excuse. I think some guys might use that as an excuse to say, well, you know, we can't do that this week because it would be hypocritical of us. It would be, well, then get it taken care of. That's the whole point. Like let it force you to get this stuff taken care of. And where are my children going to learn? Because part of worshiping, part of following Jesus is that I get back on track. I'm not always going to be faithful. I'm not always going to be on track or on the path. So it allows me to live out in front of my children what it looks like to be a worshiper of Jesus, what it looks like to repent. How are they going to learn what repentance looks like unless I live that out for them? How are they going to learn what confession looks like unless I confess in front of them? How are they going to know what reconciliation in relationships really looks like unless they see that lived out? So there should be a congruency. There should be an agreement between my life and what we do. And that's why it's not an awkward thing to sit down and worship, because this is the outflow of our life. If I were to ask each one of your children what it is that you, as a dad or as a mom, what is it that mommy or daddy worship? What is it that daddy loves? Your children are going to be able to tell me that. Your children will be able to tell me what it is that you love. And we don't have any kind of problem gathering around frequently what we love. Seth, I don't have a problem gathering around or getting my family and gathering around Yankees baseball.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't have a problem doing that, right? In fact, I was admonished by my 7-year-old a couple months ago because she came up to me. She was really proud and she said, "Hey, Daddy, I know the entire lineup of the Yankees."
Wow.
I was like, what? She's 7. She knew the entire lineup. She knew what order they batted. She knew their position. She knew their, everything about them. And why was that? Because it's not hard for me to gather around and bring my family in on those things that I love. Now, my daughter doesn't love the Yankees, but she knows the Yankees, and she knows Daddy loves the Yankees, right? So that's not hard for me to do that. It's not awkward, and I would even say that some people would say, well, it's awkward for me to sing. I'm not a great singer, right? Are you a good singer, Seth?
No.
So they'd say, well, it's awkward. It would be awkward for me to sit and sing with my family. Well, that's not true, right? Singing is a outflow. The Bible tells us that singing is the result of a heart of worship. If your heart is worshiping, it's going to sing.
Yeah.
And so why is it awkward for us to do that? It's not awkward for us to shout at the TV. It's not awkward for us to get out of our comfort zone when the Seahawks are playing. Now, again, that's low-hanging fruit. And, Dan did that this last week when he was preaching. He talked about to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he said, well, if to live is the Seahawks,
then life is pretty depressing most of the time.
Then life is not fun for you. There's nothing wrong with watching the Seahawks, and there's nothing wrong with watching the Yankees. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's just a demonstration to us that, our heart, what our heart loves, we will gather around and we will be vocal about. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. So practically, what does this look like?
Well, I think there's a lot of different, questions to answer here. And we're not going to exhaust all of them, but there are some real clear practical things. I want to say this first with practical. When we talk about purposeful, this is reiteration, but I want to make sure it's clear. When we talk about purposeful, intentional time to sit down, we're not talking about super preparation, having to prepare a lot. I do think, though, that it is really beneficial to have times where you sit down. Maybe there's a certain topic that you want to go over. Maybe there's a certain list of things that you really want to talk about as a family. I think that's really helpful to plan those times, to have a structured time where you sit down and you go over specific content. Maybe you want to use the children's ministry material that's in the weekly every week. They have questions in there. They have the content that's been gone over with your Sunday school. And let me say that here. It's really important with you as a family to partner with the ministries at FBC, partner with them, and do this together. We're a team. Sunday school happens every single week, and that's a great opportunity for you to take content that they are being taught in a structured way and reinforce that at home. So take advantage of those opportunities. Plan that. The sermon material, the stuff that we're going through in the sermon on Sundays, take that. You know, dads, take that and formulate a couple of questions, practical questions or application questions from that sermon. Take your kids to the formal worship time every Sunday, the assembly, and use that as an opportunity to teach and instruct.
Yeah, which will really show your kids that you're trying to apply the sermon to your own life and model that for them.
Again, that's teaching. Yeah, that's teaching. That's modeling. Even more than maybe the application they get out of it, they might get that how to listen to a sermon, and then as your kids get older, you can even ask them to, okay, this week I want you to be the one who provides the questions for everybody. Like, you know, take the sermon and apply it or have some questions for us as a family. It's your job this week to do that. I think that's really great, especially if you have sons and you want to teach them how to lead their family in worship one day. That's a really great exercise for them to be a part of. We do have our kids take notes a lot of times, but we ask them to do it. You know, they're not going to do that naturally on their own. So we ask them to do that from time to time, take notes. When our kids are really little, we actually have asked them, just hear, I want you to remember one word. I want you to be listening for one word in the sermon today that you understand, and I want you to tell us what that word is later on. And that's big. When we start taking our children to church when they're three. That's our plan. We start taking them when they're 3 years old because we feel like at that point they're able to sit. We're asking them to sit and listen. And so we just say, hey, listen for one word that you understand and tell us what that word is later. And that's what we do when they're 3 years old. And as they get older, we give them different challenges. Another thing is that practically, I think it's really good to use the seasons, the seasons that are provided throughout a year. So right now we're in the Christmas season. Well, this is a great opportunity to use Christmas as an excuse to get around the scriptures. There are Advent materials that have been produced by people, or some really good stuff.
Yeah, we're going through the Paul David Tripp, the new one he just put out, Come Let Us Adore Him.
Come Let Us Adore Him. And there's another one that I found by Marty Makowski. Marty Makowski produces a lot of good children's content. It's a family devotional called Prepare Him Room that leads up to Christmas. And it's got three devotionals per week. So it's not every night. It's got some other activities that you can do. And there's a lot of other really great material out there to use. And so plan around the seasons. Use the seasons as an opportunity to do this together. Another really practical thing is start early. I would even say start doing this before, you know, if you're sitting there and you don't have any kids, well, start. You know, start doing this with your wife. Sit down and read the scriptures together. Pray together. And that's a hard thing for a lot of guys to do. I know it is for me. It's a hard thing for me to pray in front of my wife. It's a hard thing for me to do this on a consistent basis. And by consistent, well, I haven't defined that yet.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
By consistent, I don't mean that you have to do this every day. I'm not saying you need to sit down as a family and do this every day, or sit down as a couple and do this every day, but be consistent in it. So look at your week, look at your schedule and say, what can I build into my schedule purposefully that I can be consistent in doing? Maybe it's once a week. Truthfully, maybe it's once every couple of weeks. You know, you're not failing because you do it once every couple of weeks, but once a week is pretty good. You know, we sit down, once a week, usually. Right now, we're going through the Book of Acts, and maybe you're like, well, how do you choose the scriptures that you go through? I let my kids choose what book we're going to go through next. So, you know, I let them decide that, and I'll play a little game with them when we do that. You know, do you want New Testament, Old Testament? And that leads to some pretty, you know, one time they chose the Book of Hosea, which by the way, you know, 14 times in the first two chapters, the idea of prostitute is brought up. So if you ever want to have the talk with your kids,
birds and the bees,
if you want to have that conversation, guess what? The best way to do that is just to read the Bible, because it comes up all the time and you're going to be forced to have to actually answer those questions. So that's how this works. It just lends itself to a lot of great great conversations. Here's some practical tips for those who aren't in a family situation where dad is leading. So maybe there's not a dad there, or maybe dad's an unbeliever. I would say for any mom who finds herself in that situation, make sure that you're really sensitive. If you have a husband that's not a believer or that's not wanting to lead in this way, be really sensitive to him. Don't take it upon yourself then to lead the family in the direction that they should go or the direction that you think they should go. You don't want to create that divide. So be very sensitive to that. If this is something that you want to do, say, hey, would it be okay if we got together once a week and just read the Bible together and sung and prayed? And if you said, that's fine for you to do. I don't want to be a part of that. I would at least still ask him. I would still at least involve him in that decision. Don't just be on your own. Don't just go out there and do it, because that's just going to create more of a divide. If you are the leader of your home because dad's not there, then obviously, yeah, I would go ahead and lead in this. And I think it'd be cool to involve other men in the church in this at points, right? Your sons, if you're a mom who, the dad's not involved in the picture at all, and your sons are getting older, I would say as your sons get older, it's really important that you involve other men at the church in his spiritual formation. So you have to pursue that. You're going to have to pursue that, but bring them into the picture. Ask men to say, hey, would you be willing to meet with my son on an occasional basis?
Ask your, if you got teenage sons, ask your child's youth leader come over.
That's a plug from Seth.
I'm a youth leader.
That's exactly the point. Like if you have teenage boys, get involved in the leader of your sons in that youth group, because they're the ones speaking into to your son's life. So they should be your best friends. You should have them over to your house. You should be involved in their lives.
Give me food.
Seriously, give the leaders food. You should know who their girlfriends are. And I'm talking about the leaders. You should know the wives of the leaders of your young men and youth group. So involve yourself. Again, partner with the church in how you spiritually lead your family. And then I would say this too. If you're listening to this and you didn't start early, or you have teenagers and you didn't start this when they were young, this might be an awkward thing, because you now have a 15-year-old living in your house who's not a worshiper of God, or maybe they're not really wanting to sit down and do this. I would not force them to sit down and do this as a family. I would invite them. As you have young adults, and that's really what they are, they're young adults, I would invite them into the time of family worship and not force them to it, because I don't think that's going to end very well. And you're just going to create more of a problem. But it also, I would say this, it provides, when your family's doing this on a consistent basis, it provides, and you're inviting them into this and they're not wanting to be a part of it, it then gives you an opportunity to ask why. Why is this something that you don't want to do? Where is your heart at? And it provides an opportunity to talk about heart issues and worship issues with your teenage young adult children. So thanks for joining us today on the podcast. I hope it's been helpful. At the end of our podcast, what we'd like to do is have a time where we answer questions. So what we'd like you to do is send in your questions. Seth, where could they do that?
So on the website, if you go to fbchurch.org/podcasts, or you can just go to the resources page, and there's a link to the podcast page there. There's a form on that page that you can fill out with your question, or you can email it to info@fbchurch.org.
Cool. So send in your questions to us. We want to hear from you, and we want to be able to answer your questions. At the end of every podcast, we will have a time where we just answer questions. And if the questions really merit it, then we will have a whole podcast on it. We'd like to form our podcast around the questions that you're asking. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries. Submit your questions for this podcast at fbchurch.org/podcast, or email them to info@fbchurch.org. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Join us for services at 8:30 or 10:30 Sunday mornings. We're located at 600 West Cora Avenue between Division and Monroe, just south of the Garland Business District.